Welcome in, everyone, to Next Chapter News. We're bringing you a special series we're calling the JFK Document Release Series. Today, we're diving deep into the latest information regarding the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, and we're talking about the full release of these records.
Yeah, we're your guides here at Next Chapter News, and we want to make sure you've got full coverage of all these new documents. Head over to nextchapternews.com. You can find links there to all of this material so you can explore it for yourself. This is a really important moment for understanding this, you know, crucial event in American history.
Absolutely. It's been over six decades, and still, the questions surrounding JFK's death just continue to fascinate people. And with this recent push for full transparency, we've got just a massive amount of information to work with, over 77,000 pages of documents from the National Archives. So today, we're going to try to sift through all of that and pull out those crucial insights, those key things you need to know.
Exactly. Think of us as your shortcut through this mountain of information, right? We'll cut to the chase, tell you what the experts are saying, and what seems to be the most important stuff. So I'll get right to it. The big question everyone's asking: do these documents change our understanding of what happened in Dallas?
I mean, that's the question, right? Are we rewriting history here?
Well, early assessments from historians, people like Frederick Lochval, seem to say not really, at least not in terms of the main narrative. His initial review suggests these documents don't contradict the Warren Commission's findings that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. So the official conclusion about Oswald acting alone, it hasn't been overturned.
Okay, so no bombshell revelations there.
Yeah.
But with this much new material, there's got to be something significant, right? What makes this release so important?
That's where things get really interesting. Lochval describes these releases as quite interesting, but not because they necessarily change the story of the assassination itself. It's more about what they reveal about U.S. covert operations during the Cold War, particularly in Latin America, during the early 60s and even beyond Kennedy's presidency.
So we're learning more about what was happening behind the scenes, what the government was up to in the shadows.
Exactly. And keep in mind, a lot of these so-called new documents aren't actually brand new. They were released before, but with redactions, what's changed is we now have them without those redactions.
I see. So all those blacked out lines we used to see, we finally get to see what was hidden. You mentioned how just a few words can completely change the meaning of something. Can you give some specific examples?
Absolutely. One of the most fascinating things is how much clearer we now understand U.S. involvement in, shall we say, influencing elections in other countries. Before, a lot of these documents would just say redacted where the country or leader's name should be. Now we see it all laid bare, specific interventions in Brazil, Finland, you name it. It really drives it home, doesn't it, seeing those actual names instead of just blanks?
It really does. It's no longer just speculation. It's concrete.
Right. And another thing these unredacted documents are showing us is just how big the CIA's presence was in U.S. embassies. This has surprised even historians who specialize in the Cold War. In some embassies, it seems nearly half the staff were actually working for the CIA. Think about that. Almost half the people weren't traditional diplomats at all, but undercover intelligence operatives.
Wow, a secret world operating right under everyone's noses. We also wanted to talk about those insights into Cuban operations. What light have these documents shed on that?
One of the big discoveries comes from a CIA document dated April 24, 1963. This document reveals that 14 Cuban diplomats were actually working for the U.S.'s agents. And this was during Operation Mongoose, the effort to, you know, destabilize the Cuban government and overthrow Castro. So this discovery really shows us the extent to which the U.S. was operating inside Cuba.
14 diplomats, that's pretty deep penetration into their system.
It is. And this same document goes on to say that two Cuban ambassadors were actually on the payroll and providing first-rate intelligence, even insight into Castro's thinking. We now have concrete evidence of high-level intelligence being fed right to the U.S. from inside Castro's own circle.
That's huge. Now, a lot of people are interested in the dynamic between JFK and the CIA. We know there was some tension there. Have these documents revealed anything new about that relationship?
Well, it's definitely true that there was some wariness between Kennedy and the CIA. But from what we've seen so far, nothing in these documents fundamentally changes our understanding of why that was. It's possible that further analysis might uncover more, but for now, there's no dramatic new information on that front.
Okay, so no major shifts in our understanding there. What about Lee Harvey Oswald? There are still so many questions about what he was doing in the weeks leading up to the assassination. Do these documents tell us anything new about that period?
This is an area where historians like Lochval are really hoping to find more information. They're especially interested in Oswald's trip to Mexico City just a few weeks before the assassination. We know he met with officials from both the Cuban and Soviet embassies, and he was apparently thinking about defecting to Cuba. That trip raises so many questions.
It does. What was he doing there? Who did he talk to?
Exactly. And that's the big unanswered question. What was discussed in those meetings? What information did he share? What were his motives? And just as importantly, what did U.S. intelligence agencies know or not know about what he was doing in those critical weeks before Dallas?
That period in Mexico City has always been shrouded in mystery. Now, we can't talk about the JFK assassination without addressing the conspiracy theories. What do these document releases and the historians analyzing them say about why these theories persist?
Lajval has an interesting perspective on this. He says one reason is simply the shock of a young, charismatic president being killed so suddenly. We as humans tend to want to believe that such a huge event must have a correspondingly huge cause. The idea that someone like Lee Harvey Oswald, a seemingly ordinary guy, could be solely responsible, for some people, that's just impossible to believe.
It just doesn't feel like enough of an explanation.
Right. So Lajval says that these documents, no matter what they contain, are unlikely to fully convince people who already believe in a conspiracy. The desire for a bigger, more complex narrative is just too strong for them.
It makes sense. It's like a psychological need for a more satisfying explanation.
And Lajval also points out a few reasons why the JFK assassination is such a magnet for conspiracy theories compared to other historical events. One is that Oswald himself was murdered just 2 days later, which obviously raises questions. Was he silenced to keep him from revealing something? Then there's the fact that while the Warren Commission did a thorough investigation, they did make some mistakes, like not interviewing every single potential witness.
And we can't forget about the Zapruder film.
Right, that home movie footage of the assassination. Lajval says that film makes the event more real, more eternal for us. We can watch it over and over, analyze it frame by frame, and that just fuels all kinds of speculation. And finally, there's this feeling that something fundamental was lost that day in Dallas, a sense of, you know, American innocence. It's hard to define exactly, but a lot of people feel it, and it contributes to the belief that there has to be more to the story than just Oswald acting alone.
It's like a perfect storm of factors that keeps the conspiracy theories alive. Now let's talk about the official details of this document release. The National Archives has given us some insight into how it all came about.
Yes. This release came about because of President Donald Trump's directive back on March 17th, 2025. It was part of Executive Order 14176, which mandated the release of all records related to the JFK assassination that were still classified. So this wasn't just something that happened out of the blue. It was a result of a formal order to be more transparent.
So it was a deliberate effort to get this information out to the public.
That's right. The National Archives worked with other agencies to make sure they complied with the order. The documents were first made available online and at the National Archives in College Park, Maryland, on March 18th, 2025. And they've been adding more digitized records to the online collection ever since.
And this wasn't just one big dump of documents, right?
No, it was done in stages. The first release was the biggest, over 63,000 pages on March 18th. Then there were smaller releases on March 20th, March 26th, and April 3rd, which brings us to the total of over 77,000 pages.
That's a lot of reading. Mm-hmm. And I understand that a big part of this release was that the documents were released without any redactions, right?
That's a very important point. The goal was to be as open as possible, so they released the documents without redactions. But because of that, some of these documents contain personal information about people who are still alive.
Well, that raises some privacy concerns. What are they doing about that?
The National Archives and the Social Security Administration have been working to address those concerns. They're trying to identify and contact people whose information is in the documents, and they have a dedicated email address, jfkrecords@nara.gov, for anyone who thinks their information might be included.
That's good to hear. And what kind of documents are we talking about here? What's in this massive collection?
It's a whole range of things. Reports, notes, memos, letters, and even documents that were released before, but with parts blacked out. Now, with those redactions gone, we're seeing the full picture for the first time.
And if someone wants to take a look at these documents themselves, where can they find them?
They're all on the National Archives website, www.archives.gov/JFK2025release. You can browse the documents there. And they also have links to download them as PDFs. And of course, you can find a link to the website on nextchapternews.com.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the JFK documents, what are the most important things for our listeners to take away from all of this?
Well, the main thing is that these documents don't seem to contain any shocking new information that changes the basic story of the assassination, but they do give us a much richer understanding of the historical context, especially what was going on with U.S. intelligence operations during the Cold War. We see more clearly now just how involved the CIA was, particularly in Latin America, how much they were doing covertly.
So while the mystery of Oswald's motives may remain, these documents provide a lot of important background information that helps us understand the bigger picture.
Exactly. And we encourage you to check out these documents for yourselves at nextchapternews.com, where you'll find a link to the National Archives website. Explore them, read them, and draw your own conclusions.
And as we close out this special episode, here's something to think about. If these documents reveal so much about the extent of government secrecy during the Cold War, what else might still be hidden? What other secrets from history are waiting to be uncovered?